This is John Hall, Internet radio talk show host on Monday, June 25th on Station 2. This evening, I have a guest speaker who we're going to be talking with. His name is Organic Jack Hertel, and he is from Newcastle, California, in the foothills of the Sierras outside of Sacramento. Jack has an organic farm. He's going to tell you all about his experiences, and this is one of the plant products that I took to recover from melanoma cancer. So, Jack, how are you doing?
Doing good, John. I might mention while you were gone, I kind of started, and let me just do a paragraph and I'll put closer to it. I was talking about the epidemical diseases that are food-related. In men, about 70%, women, 90%, it's what they are eating that causes their disease. And then, unfortunately, they make the humongous mistake of going to somebody that has never studied diet, nutrition, or prevention. They go to their local drug dealer. People call them doctors. They've been trained to react pharmaceutically with almost no success. And there is a reason that we have almost the worst health in the world with double the cost. And people need to think on one thought, not just that we are what we eat. We are what we eat. Thinking about bacon, those pigs are eating their own excrement. And then there's another thought, it's not what we eat, it's what we don't poop. There's another word for it, but it's the food that we keep in our body. So that kind of connects with what I started to say, John. I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, let's follow with the flow of these questions and give the people a sense of who you are and what you do. Number one, could you explain to the listeners just what is an organic farm and what is wheatgrass?
There's a real simple definition of organic farming. You can talk for hours, but it's just real simple. We do no harm to other, either the population or the earth. Another word for organic is sustainable. 97% of the farmers are basically raping the planet. They're taking more out, putting less in, and in the process, killing the bees and the beneficial bugs and the butterflies. Organic farmers, through the use of compost and very studied situations as far as putting other manures in, put more back than we take out. And the benefit for the people that eat organic is it can be 50% up to 800% more nutritious, and people are always complaining about the cost of organic. It's the least expensive because it just cuts down major diseases, and you just don't go to the hospital near as much. As far as wheatgrass is concerned, I've studied nutrition for about 40 years. Good case in point, my mother dying of cancer, my dad of a stroke, my son of diabetes, all food-related, and every situation, the doctors gave them no help. And I don't want to say that they terminated their lives, but they were totally helpless. And what people need to do is look in the mirror at the nighttime, and that's the person that's going to get them back healthy. I suggest that people that are ill check out, read, believe nobody, and make up their own mind as to what they do. But people that go to the doctors with cancer have a 98% chance of being dead within 5 years. Some people say 10. To go to a doctor with cancer, your life is going to be terminated very, very quickly, John. I have found that wheatgrass seems to be a miracle.
Let me share with the listener, Jack, how I met you.
Okay.
Someone referred me to Jack, and I went up to his little farm up in the foothills, and Jack gave me a tour, and he started explaining all this stuff that he just explained about the wheatgrass and also other fruits and so forth that he grows up on his property. And I was kind of overwhelmed with it all because I had never had such a tour. And so I went back home. I didn't buy the product from him right away. I went back home and I did a little research. What I discovered is wheatgrass is one of the top antioxidants for cancer patients like myself. And that was within the first month that I got cancer, and so I was pretty upset and nervous and uncertain of everything, but Jack got me on the right track, and am I glad I did. So I've been buying wheatgrass from him every 2 weeks. He has it delivered down to a store in Roseville, and I go there and pick up my wheatgrass. And Jack, explain to the people how people juice with wheatgrass?
Well, they have to have a press, Jack Delane or the Juice Man, or the older champions just don't work. And I'll make an example out of anybody's dog that is sick. They'll go out, and I don't know how they know it. They're just smarter than humans. Intuitively, they will eat grass. Then they'll barf it up. And the problem with that is most animals, other than cows and goats and the ruminants, can't digest the wheatgrass, nor can humans. So you don't want any of the cellular structure of the grass in your body, or you will be less well. It's not going to kill you, but it's not good for you. So you actually need a press. And they go anywhere. I've seen them at $40 for a little crank one, $100 for a cast iron that anybody's great-grandmother might have put a chunk of meat into and turned it.
I bought one of the low-priced ones for $200, and the word is we grind our wheatgrass. We don't use
well, that's the way, but you really ought to say press, because you're pressing the vital juice, which is the most important thing on the planet to be healthy, out of the grass itself. It's not grass. It's not wheat. It happens to be a vegetable.
It's a juice. It's a vegetable juice. Right on.
Yeah. But it,
So the way you got into the business was out of the trauma of losing your mother with cancer.
In 72, my mother at 57 died of breast cancer. And, it may be true. It might not. I happen to believe that the doctors killed her. Number one, they suggested mammography. Any woman hearing this conversation that does mammography ought to find a doctor that's not hell-bent to kill her. The doctors don't mean to, but mammograms bring on metastasized breast cancer. The false positives are so horrible, 30%. A lot of women are walking around with no breasts, and they never had cancer. The worst thing, if a woman has had 5 mammograms, she's just like a little Japanese woman. April 1945, take your choice, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. 5 mammograms equal going out and looking up within a mile of an atom bomb blast, and they are basically receiving the same amount of radiation. Mammograms are extremely dangerous, and there's a thing called thermography that is totally safe, and the American Cancer Society is pushing mammograms because they've had 5 recent radiologists as presidents. And if anybody hearing this thinks that the American Cancer Society is anything but a money-making program that is not helping cancer patients throughout, they've got $1 billion in their treasury, and they have outlawed basically clinically proven cancer remedies because they want to keep it in the hands of the chemotherapist, the urologist, and the people doing the x-rays. It's just, it's bogus as hell, and there's been no improvement in the last 30 years. The problem is, what got me into the wheatgrass was I realized, and there's some debate about this, but I believe it, alkaline, pH. Cancer cannot live in an alkaline body, and wheatgrass is the best provider, and people that are eating meat and doing dairy, and I'm talking eggs, chicken, pizza, these are all things that are acidic, which make a likelihood of cancer more prevalent. And it's real simple. 63% of Americans are coming down with cancer. It's in their food. But wheatgrass, because it changes acid into alkalinity, cancer can't live. But even more important than that, Dr. Otto Warburg in 1922 in Germany, a medical research scientist who won 2 Nobel Prizes for research, proved that with enough oxygen in your body, you can kill cancer cells. I've had people up here, quite a few of them, they've changed their diet, done wheatgrass. None of them have died, and they've all gotten off of chemotherapy. I asked the oncologist, and I asked the American Cancer Society, what is their problem? Why don't they get their patients to change their pH? They never mention it. They should get their patients to get more oxygen in their body, and they never do. 75% of the doctors.
They don't teach it in the hospitals.
Pardon, John?
Generally speaking, they don't teach it in the hospitals. They don't.
Well, you know, there's no money for the pharmaceutical companies, and the pharmaceutical companies are the people that fund most of the medical universities. It's bogus. It's a hoax, and people are dying from it. And I think my mother, 40 years, died from basically malpractice.
Yep.
Now, that thing bothers me, John, more than anything.
Do you have a testimonial from one of your clients that you could share with us today?
I've got 30 of them, but what I'd like to do is just very quickly talk about a woman who came up here 3 years ago and told me she had 2 weeks to live.
Uh-huh.
I asked her what her problem was, and she said 8 years before, she had breast cancer and made the worst decision of her life. The doctor said, if you do chemo, you're alive in 5 years, you're a survivor. That is one huge medical lie. It takes up to 10 years for a cancer cell to regenerate where it's even detectable with an electron microscope. Anybody, any doctor, any oncologist that says 5 years, it's bogus. It's not even true. But she tells this woman that if she does the chemo, she'll be a survivor. Well, 7 years later, she's alive, but she goes and gets an MRI, and boy, did the doctor miss that one. This person had a reoccurrence of breast cancer, bone cancer, brain cancer, lung cancer, lymphatic cancer. And then the doctor said, you've got 2 weeks to live. What the doctor should have done was apologize for putting this woman 2 weeks from death because of the chemotherapy. Chemotherapy cures nothing other than the financial woes of the doctor. That's something I just made up, but they're making money,
and we're dying, okay? They did a recent poll of 1,000 doctors nationally, and they asked them, if they personally got cancer themselves, would they be willing to undergo chemotherapy and radiation? And 66% of them said, no way.
Well, I've heard, John, they were asked, if your loved ones had cancer, would you do chemo? I've heard it was 75% of these quacks said, no, I wouldn't. But they'll perpetrate it on individuals that they don't know. But let me continue with this woman. Her daughter is a nurse, and she said, you ought to go over and see Jack, and maybe he can help you. Well, she came over, and I asked her if she knew how she got the cancer. And she said the doctor never said one word about the cancer, so what's it going to do? They're going to give you chemo and maybe cure you. That's bogus. You're not going to survive, or you're very unlikely to survive unless you're a 10-year person that you live for 10 years. They never, ever, they don't know what causes cancer. So I asked this woman a series of questions, and I would suggest people listening to this show listen up. I asked her if she ate meat. I asked her if she did dairy. I asked her if she did hydrogenated cookies and cupcakes and birthday cakes. I asked her if she cared to buy the little bit more expensive, but the Best Buy organic, or was she buying all the produce that had been sprayed with cancer-causing poisons to kill the bugs in the field with cancer? That's where cancer comes from. I asked her if she even knew what oxidation was. The doctor had failed miserably in educating this woman. I asked her, because you do antioxidative vitamin C, E, and selenium. I asked her if she got out and walked a little bit. I asked her if she did pH, did enough oxygen. Did she care about living longer? But unfortunately, John, she answered every question wrong. She had been doing everything to promote cancer, and the doctor was clueless. Again, don't go to a physician that's been trained with pharmaceutical money. If you've got cancer, high blood pressure, cholesterol problems, they're going to put you on drugs that wreck your immune system, your liver, your kidneys, and you're just not going to live as long as you could. People that do not treat cancer, I'm talking people that have cancer that go in for treatment, that do nothing, have statistically been proven to live longer, and the quality of life is better. Hippocrates said, do no harm. I've called out in my reading 89 adverse effects from doing chemotherapy, and not one of them is life-enhancing. So Judy said, well, Jack, I'm going to try this, change my diet to organic food, do the wheatgrass religiously. Well, I'll be darned, John, in 2 weeks, she was still alive. In 3 months, I'll stretch it between 3 and 6 months, all five of her cancers had disappeared. And if I was a doctor practicing this kind of therapy, the damn government, the AMA, would take my license away from me.
Well, you know, do you remember, Jack, when I came to you, the doctor had told me I had 3 months to live, and here I am today showing healthy blood tests.
Don, the best I can say is they're brain dead. I don't think they're mean or evil people, but it is lethal, uneducated doctors that are prescribing chemotherapy kills, radiation brings on cancer, all the things they suggest, a mastectomy. What? That's crazy to take a woman's breast off when her whole body can lead to cancer, and everybody that's ever been up here that's been silly enough to do basically a mastectomy, within a month or two have cancer someplace else.
The medical
community, John, is out of control, and I don't know what's going to change it.
The key word that I want people to hear tonight are these two things you're mentioning, chemo and radiation. They destroy the normal human immune system that you and I were born with,
right,
which enables us to stay healthy. And
yep,
that's what we're really treating by giving them healthy foods, antioxidants, etc. Then they have the opportunity to fight their cancer. But anything that destroys those immune cells is actually lessening their chances of survival.
Absolutely. And the problem is they're dealing with a symptom that somebody has cancer in a body part, so let's remove it. Excuse me, that's only where it has been detected. A person's body is acid, lacks oxygen, has a weakened immune system. The cancer is going to erupt someplace else. And that's why over a 10-year period, people with cancer that make the deadly mistake of going to a doctor, 90% of them are dead within 10 years. Breast cancer, it's 98%. I mean, they're just not curing. Surgery might be one of the worst things, because I have many people come up here, done surgery, got a phone call, we got it all. Then 3 months later, we're sorry, the cancer has come back. There's a Dr. Biggleson in our area up in Grass Valley who wrote a book, Doctors Are More Harmful Than Germs. And if we think of the, if I may say, immaculate connection between all of our body tissues, and this is what the doctor says, who is a surgeon, to take a knife and to cut part of the body, disconnect one connection from it, basically, your body will never be the same. Surgery does not work. Radiation is a, if I may pun, a dead-end street. And chemotherapy is the evilest concoction of mankind. And shame on the physicians that practice. And we need a little adjustment of the people that go to the doctors.
Could you make a few comments, Jack, about how wheatgrass is a detoxifier?
What wheatgrass does, John, one of the statistics, and you might hear different numbers, but particularly with the ingestion of processed food, and I'll say Campbell's soup is the worst. Processed food, anything in a can, cardboard box, cellophane, is processed and things are added to it. Monosodium glutamate. Glutamate absolutely wrecks your brain. Monosodium glutamate is a leading cause of Alzheimer's. Our government knows that glutamate causes brain disease, ultimately Alzheimer's, but they allow the food manufacturers to put it into the food. What the wheatgrass does, if you can imagine a little scrub brush, really tiny scrub brush, but your brain is about 3 pounds. I've read 10 trillion neurons. They're not even touching each other, and the wheatgrass gets in there and scrubs the glutamate away from the brain. The one neuron with another one next to it has what is called a synaptic gap, and there's electrical current in your brain that shuts down when you've eaten too much crap food. But our doctors never tell us this. The government tells us. They told us one time about 3 years ago, and then they dropped it. Corporate pressure, I will bet you. But the wheatgrass gets in there, and my proof is real simple. I've had some 80, 85-year-old people tell me after they do wheatgrass, they're starting to remember things again. People are told that Alzheimer's is irreversible, if I may say, on your program, John, bullshit. Don't believe this stuff. It's been proven that people that get out and walk, that quit eating meat, that don't do processed food, can help slow down Alzheimer's. I can't imagine anything worse, not knowing anybody in my family. And I've got some testimonials that wheatgrass really helps. The other problem is internal diverticulitis, and basically it's a problem with meat eaters and dairy drinkers. Milk is the most poisonous thing on the planet. My son died of diabetes. It was the whey, W-H-E-Y. And people are getting really acid. John Wayne and Elvis Presley both died with 40 to 50 pounds of meat, digested meat, meat poop, and just plain poop that never got out of their colon. The next time you see somebody that's huge, they're basically carrying around a lot of stuff that ought to be eliminated out of their rear end. Wheatgrass gets in there and, like a Roto-Rooter, cleans out your intestinal tract, your colon, and people have actually gotten sick after doing wheatgrass for one or two times because they've stirred up a lot of noxious material, putrescent material, John. And the stomach can't handle it, so they get sick, never vomit, but after one or two times, they're good to go. They've gotten rid of the crap that's going to kill them, but I've had a lot of people, I don't like the headache. I got sick. Well, you know, they're going to give me more room on the freeway, John.
So let's move on here. How about reading one of those testimonials you've got?
Well, I'll tell you what, I gave you that one. I'd rather just tell you about Bobby who came up here. There's a book out that I strongly suggest. It's Robert Young. Heard him give a talk down in Lodi last week. It's called The pH Miracle. Doctors never check pH. That's a malpractice suit as far as I'm concerned. A pH will tell a person, particularly women, if they're material is being taken out, leached out of their bones. It's called calcium. And you've got to know your pH. It makes a huge difference. Well, this woman had rheumatoid arthritis, ongoing pain for 13 years, couldn't sleep. And by the way, she had cancer. She came up here. I made a simple suggestion. Do the wheatgrass juice, which is the greatest anti-inflammatory possible. If you got a toothache, go get a little marble-sized ball of wheatgrass juice and chew it right over the pain. It's an antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, and I'll bet you my $10 against your 10 cents, the pain will go away and never come back. You don't need to go to the dentist when you've got a painful tooth. Treat it yourself with wheatgrass. So Bobby read this article. I copied stuff out and did a 4-page printout on the pH miracle, and she realized everything that was wrong with her was her pH. She came up here, changed her pH, got off the meat, and John, within about 3 days, getting off the milk, her rheumatoid arthritis, doing the wheatgrass, her pain went away, and within 5 weeks, because she changed her pH, the doctor took her off of chemotherapy.
Terrific.
It's pretty amazing, and it is so cheap. I'm always overdrawn at my bank. There's no money in doing what I do, but it is a solution to cancer.
That's terrific. Jack, I want to thank you for giving this testimony. You won't believe it, but we've talked for a half an hour, and it's time for a two-minute break. But before we take it, tell people how they can reach you.
We're in Newcastle, California. Email is fine, but it's one-dimensional. Please, if you want to talk, let's do a dialogue. My phone number here is 916-663-2146, and I'm sure everybody has had a paper and pencil. For those of you that don't, again, it's 916-663-2146, and if you wake me up in the middle of the night because our time zone is different, I sleep real good because wheatgrass juice gives me rapid eye movement, REM sleep. I sleep like a log. Wake me up. I'm going to go back to sleep real quick. Miracle of wheatgrass. You've got to explore it for me.
This has been a fun experience for us and the listeners, and I want to thank you very much. I'm going to take a two-minute break, and I'll be back with the rest of the program.
I'll wait right here, John.
Hello, I am John Hall. I'm the author of the book Beating Cancer Can Be Fun. I wrote a book on cancer fighting strategies for first-time diagnosed cancer patients. You heard it right. I'm the author. My name is John Hall. I recovered from metastatic melanoma over the last 3 years without chemo, without radiation, and without interferon. And I'm demonstrating in the book, evidence-based nutrition can heal cancers. In the book, you will learn why, in most cancer types, natural foods are superior to chemo or radiation. What is wrong with the medical community? Orthodox medicine could easily have a painless 90% cure rate on newly diagnosed cancer patients by using protocols I will recommend in my book, and yet they continue to use treatments which have less than a 3% cure rate. You can buy this book on ebook through Amazon.com, through the Nook, or at Barnes & Noble. Okay, we're back again for the second half of the program, which is I'm covering tonight the chemical environment cancers love to live in and why we need to destroy them by other means. There's been a lot of medical debate around which chemical environment does cancer live in to decide when and where to divide and multiply and become destroyers. We know there's several sources which begin this process. Number one, Jack covered some of it. Poor diet is clearly one of them. In addition, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez feels that we have a, quote, cancer epidemic in America due to several factors, the depleted food value of crops, the processed foods marketed in our diets at the stores, from the chemicals we breathe in on the highways and other places. And the truth is we don't even know the full negative effects all this is having on our bodies. Secondly, the increasing chemical contamination in our air in the big cities. Thirdly, radioactive contamination. According to Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, cell phones do cause contamination, especially involving brain cancer. My sister-in-law died of glioma of the brain a little over a year ago. And she used her cell phone frequently. Whether that was the cause, I don't know, but Dr. Gonzalez seems to think it was indicated. Number four, electromagnetic contamination. This is coming from some high wires, some factories, some x-rays in hospitals, some radio waves, microwaves, electric generators, induction machines, and transformers. The standards for which many of these impulses is healthy for us is unclear and questionable. I've read many contradictory articles. One suggestion I have is try reading the government safety guidelines if you live close to an area where there's likely contamination. You can see some of their data on internet, and then you'll be able to compare their data with some of the experts you might meet. So the question, again, is what's going on inside the body from these various contaminants? It's now generally believed that it's the toxic acidic buildup in our body organs, our blood cells, which trigger these cancers. This results in metastases, the dividing of the cancer cells. Besides, the standard blood lab analysis I've been having through my holistic Dr. Joyner, he performs the live red blood cell analysis. This is to determine any dysfunctions at a deep cell level involving liver digestion issues, any lack of water in the body will show up under the microscope. It's an electron microscope. It'll show any lack of vitamins and minerals assimilation. I was short on vitamin B12. One of the essential vitamins for energy, for especially in older folks. I showed in my blood cell analysis insufficient protein intake. I had to build up, eat more foods with high protein intake to help defeat the cancer cells. This test is done by taking a droplet of your blood, placing it under a super-powered microscope, and then showing the patient the photos of the different life forms of these cells on the computer screen. Most people have never been analyzed at this deep cell level. I believe anyone who has cancer or early signs of cancer might consider this exam every few months to determine whether the body is functioning well or not. It's my belief that this medical technology is highly underused to aid a patient in cancer recovery. Naturopaths believe strongly, or holistic doctors believe strongly, that a healthy diet is at the source of defeating cancers. Again, my goal is to have a strong immune system, which is what we were born with, and that's the only real solution to maintaining good health and fending off cancer cells. As one example, Dr. Gonzalez, who I referred to earlier, he cites the importance of accurate diagnosis. In his case, some cancer people needed large doses of magnesium and potassium with large doses of calcium, whereas other people needed large amounts of calcium and don't do well on potassium. In fact, sometimes they even get depressed if they have too much potassium. The one thing he highlights is that each form of cancer can be caused by our own individual vulnerabilities to foods. In other words, each one of us has a little bit different chemical makeup. He also cites there is also evidence building that having cell phones several inches from the brain for 8 hours daily is leading to a diagnosis of glioblastoma, which is the worst form of brain cancer. Somehow, the acidity in the body brings forth large tumors pressing on the brain. My sister-in-law, I mentioned earlier, had this diagnosis, and she passed away a few months after discovering it, and hers was an inoperable tumor too close to the brain. To assure that a cancer-diagnosed person strives to maintain a proper pH level, as Jack was mentioning earlier, is very appropriate to their body condition. I listed a nutritional protocol in my book, which you can see in my book, Beating Cancer Can Be Fun, which I use to bring my body into an alkali state. I check my blood frequently with a litmus paper, which you can get at any natural food store, to determine whether my body is alkaline, acid, or too much alkaline, or too much acid. So I monitor my acidity in the body with this litmus paper. The pH for alkaline, by the way, is 7.0. It comes with a strip where you can see the visually whether it's 7.0 or higher, or if it's too acidic, you'd be in a 4.0 to 6.8 range with a yellow color on the litmus paper. However, if you're new at this, consult with an experienced, knowledgeable, holistic naturopath who can advise you as to a desirable acid-based state for yourself. It's also interesting to note that when cancer cells die, they leave an acidic residue, which is excessive. I take super enzyme supplements to wash them down and get them out of the body. Dr. Joyner refers to this as the sewer of the body. And as Jack said, there's some evidence that wheatgrass also will accomplish this task. I've discovered cancers considered an alkaline state as their enemy because they love to live with an acidic environment. In my situation, I'm happy to share, I feel better when I know my body is alkalized. I do worry when it becomes acidic, especially if it's in a low pH range. What I've learned about the importance of having this alkaline acid balance in our system is that the kidneys and the lungs are the main filtering devices to rid the body of excessive acids, followed to a lesser extent by the skin itself. They are all engaged to facilitate preserving pH balance in the system. The kidneys help by eliminating solid acids, particularly sulfuric and uric acid, into the urinary tract for elimination. However, the kidney cancer effectively do this. However, the kidney cannot effectively do this without bicarbonate and other alkalizing compounds to neutralize the acid before its elimination. Chemically, this process is called buffering. Without this buffering with alkalized solution, harsh concentrated acid with a pH of 4.5 or less could burn the delicate kidney tissues. If the kidneys flooded with too much acid and a short supply of alkalization, this buildup of acid, which we call acidosis, can set the stage for a wide variety of health issues, beginning with the disruption of proper cell function. Then over time, numerous biochemical reactions become impaired and the stage is set for dysfunction and diseases. The lungs also work to keep the body's pH balance by eliminating gas-formed acids. Without describing the whole chemical process here, is that you can tell when the body's becoming overly acidic if you have an increased respiratory rate. The body is actually struggling to release excess carbonic acid from the system. If the body, on the other hand, is over-alkalized, alkalosis, the rate of breathing decreases. Again, the body has to work hard to retain enough acid to maintain a proper acid balance. The skin, on the other hand, through the sweat glands, is the final organ responsible for eliminating acids. Through perspiration, it flushes excess acids out of the system. One of the reasons why exercise is so necessary for a cancer patient or anybody with a life-threatening disease. It's noted that through sweating, the body cannot eliminate acids as fast as they can by urinating. One way of determining excess acidity is the offensive odor, which appears when we are overly acidic. In spite of this, I recommend continue exercising to eliminate toxic acids. Okay, let's take a look at chronic low-grade acidosis caused by a persistent buildup of those acids in our system. Looking at the dietary patterns of America today, there's an obvious overconsumption of acid-producing foods in our sugars, refined foods, coffee, alcohol, and dairy products. And there's an underconsumption of alkaline-forming fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. This is what creates the heavy acid tilt in our system today. Next, how does this chronic acid condition harm the body? Well, mainly, the depletion of alkaline reserves in the body puts a huge strain on the body with negative side effects. The scientific studies that I've read recently mention problems that will follow as the body fights for balance. And I'm going to list them. There's a long list here. I'll try to go through it quickly. Number one, there's a loss of calcium in the urine, which causes the wearing of the bone, can lead to osteoporosis. Number two, reduced bone formation. Number three, bones tend to become brittle and prone to fracture if the body's over-acidified. Number four, the loss of potassium and magnesium stored in the body, causing hypertension or high blood pressure and inflammation. Number five, the breakdown of protein, which results in muscle wasting. Six, a depressed protein metabolism, which results in the inability to fully repair cells, tissues, and organs. Our body, by the way, is 70% protein, so it's really important that we have an adequate amount at all times. And then seven, painful urination can result. Number eight, damaged growth hormones. Number nine, an accelerated aging process from too much accumulation of acid products. And number 10, an increased production of free radicals, which are those unstable molecules which can cause cell damage and inflammation, and it lowers our immune capacity. And number 11, too much acid causes a greater oxidation of free radicals and impairs the activity of any antioxidant products that you're taking to protect the body from free radical damage. And number 12, there's a tendency for the connective tissue in our body to weaken, causing inflammation and pain. This is just a partial laundry list of the problems which can arise from faulty alkaline imbalance. So we've covered quite a bit here today. I'm going to cut this program off early, but I want to remind you that I'll be on every other Monday. So today's the, I don't have the date, but it's 2 weeks from tonight, Monday night. And I'm going to cover a lot of very interesting topics related to healthy foods to eat if you've been diagnosed with cancer, and unhealthy and foods to avoid if you've been diagnosed with cancer. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great 2 weeks, and I'll be back.